The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, you're on the Deadline Report. Care of Ben Vigin Investigates, care of Fresh FM, the greatest little radio station in all the South Island and all the known universes. And probably all the unknown ones too. So I'm just kind of doing a bit of a roundup today. We're going to start doing a series of shows for the summer season. We're going to get some great guests on board of that, and I'll kind of let you know more about that down the road. But today we're just going to do a general roundabout of things I've been covering. So what I'm actually looking at, I'm just kind of going back, and it's quite interesting because this is a Facebook page put up by Emma Curtin, and it's of her actually doing a pretty damn good job of watching someone set fire to the tents in Parliament during the Wellington protests. And what I find very interesting, these are amazing close, because there are only three people who were ever actually busted for the fires in Wellington. Six fires, three people arrested. These three people, who including the wearing the mask on their face, which anybody at the protest would understand what a joke that is. And again, he's wearing this thing where he's wearing a brand new New Zealand flag, which again, I saw these guys marching into protests, all wearing dark blue, kind of looking like one might say black power prospects. That's a speculation, but they're all wearing the same colours, and they really don't look like they have much to do with the protest. But they all turn up on the last day, and oddly enough, none of these guys actually any action's been taken against them. And as you said, like, here we have a direct footage of someone actually throwing what you can see is clearly a Molotov into the tent and having an engagement with this particular woman on Emma Curtin on her social media page. And I'd love to know where the mainstream coverage of that one is, because I don't think we'll actually get it, because when I was up there, I would see the cameras line up in the morning and they'll do their 10 o'clock briefing. You could normally get an idea about how much of a kicking you're going to get, because you count the number of cameras, and then they'll come back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and bring them down. And then the news story, they would cut the footage to fit the story that they'd already told. I've never seen anything actually. It was a pretty disgusting situation. Of course, the other one that we've got in terms of talking about snow jobs is the issue about the cocaine involving the three leaders on their train to Europe. And it's pretty amazing footage. It's, you know, they're all talking, and then the guy realizes, oh, actually that's not appropriate, and he kind of picks it up and slides it under his wrist. And it's just pretty amazing. But again, we're just going to give these people a free pass. There's also a really cool story here about first time that there's a corporate accountability, which actually goes back to the Colombian death squads of Chiquita Bananas, who in the 1950s were involved in basically hiring mercenaries to kind of go after people that wanted this really horrible thing called better wages. And then they did it again in 1997 to 2004. And they paid about basically $1.7 million to these death squads. And Chiquita is now paying out $38.83 million to the victims' families. And again, this is the kind of stuff that you're getting on social media news, but you're not getting on your mainstream. And they turn around and talk about, oh no, social media is full of fake news. But you can literally see the world's leaders with a bag full of power on the table and being quickly scooped up, and they're going to turn around and look the other direction. So kind of, again, we've got this whole issue that I talk a lot about, that our main institutions are failing because the people that work there are no longer interested in actually following professional standards or holding up the same values that they might hold for you or for another person. And again, on this list of things that were along this line is that lots and lots of talk about dodgy money in the Paradise Papers connecting to Putin. In actual fact, there is a line that connects to the people that were friends of Putin that Putin used to consolidate his power, not saying he's a good guy, but just saying there was never a direct line to Putin. There is a direct line in the Paradise Papers to Zelensky, but we hear very, very rarely about that. But what I'd like to know from our friends at Radio New Zealand is, how come nobody wants to talk about Mike Moore and the Ultimo Foundation, which was again set up by one of these incredibly dodgy people that they would now describe as friends of Putin, involving the chairman of the World Trade Organization and the gentleman that also gave us the Global Migration Package, or the Global Compact, which was originally sold as a world without walls. But when we all saw through that in the 1990s, they redressed it and neoliberalism sold it again. And now we accept that scab labor, environmentalism and free trade are wonderful, wonderful things and really, really fit with progressive values, said no one ever. But there we are. Go and look it up. Ultimo Foundation, directs the link of the Paradise Papers, and nobody wants to talk about it. We already talked about last week about the issue about the policeman quitting, and now that's come out what they're now saying after a bit of pressure applied. They've admitted that he's been sacked because of pornography allegedly found on a work computer. But what they're not telling us is what kind of material was actually found. And really, I mean, okay, inappropriate fine, but is it really? He's not correct. He's resigning, but, you know, it's pretty clear if he didn't resign, he was going to be pushed. And I think we should really know what kind of material he was actually looking at, because last time I remember, Shane Jones on a taxpayer-funded junket, we were staying at a hotel, took out some porn and watched it on his free time, but on taxpayers' expense. And I don't recall him ever being actually sacked or stood down from that particular value. So again, I'm not condoning Shane Jones. He's him and his friends at the Atlas Network are no friends of mine, but I am kind of going, really? I think there's a bit more to the story, and I think we are actually deserved that right. And again, there's also, I'm just going through a general roundabout of information today. What we're looking at here is, there's a really good piece of YouTube I would recommend, is looking at who sold the AR-15 used at the Port Arthur's massacre and Martin Bryant. And again, this is one of the stories where, you know, mainstream turned around and they attack it all the time without ever actually looking at it. But anyone who's ever spent any time looking at the Port Arthur kind of goes, this is probably one of the most hinkiest events to take place. And when we look at the Christchurch shooting, which I believe the police missed multiple red signs, but again, they covered for the Prime Minister, who was part of the committee that approved online guns, and that was something that everyone said, no, really dumb idea. So nobody held was accountable for that idea, or the fact that the gun back response actually occurred at the same time that our allies, Australia, were dumping all these 501s who do have a gun culture. And as a consequence, we've now had a massive spike in gun-based homicides as a direct result of that particular policy. I always find that one about the AR-15s interesting too, because my understanding was the ballistics that took place in following the Christchurch shooting, where the whole place got pulled apart and repainted and done within 48 hours. So entire crime scene was like, never mind evidence, like it's just beggars belief. But the ballistics that was actually going to be carried out by the same person who was involved in the ballistics for AR-15, for some reason our own ballistics aren't good enough for that. And I think that's a kind of a very interesting little story along there, along with, of course, we got this other particularly very interesting one. When I don't normally promote the Free Speech Union because I'm a little bit too close to ACT and the New Zealand, the hypocritical New Zealand initiative, but I do find this one very interesting. Following further work and resources, investments, police have developed an approach for removing perceived hate motivation from non-criminal instances that were flagged prior to the updated definition. This work will remove all flags for perceived hate motivation and sub-level data on perceived prejudices for non-criminal incidences dated before the 1st of November 2024. Planning for this work is underway and the work is currently expected to be completed by the end of May. So due to in this case, they've turned around and said, well, you can't just turn around and actually send the police around to people because they've said, I don't like somebody on social media. You know, unless there's actually crime involved, I don't think the police should be turned into the secrets police. And on that one, I have to kind of wholeheartedly agree. There's actually also a very good submission online about the Free Speech Union talking about this whole idea about how, you know, actually free speech is very important. And it is a little bit frustrating because it's an issue that the right wing have seized upon, and the left wing seem to, once upon a time used to be the champions of this, are now actually, even hearing Kim Hill on show, kind of suggesting that free speech is a terrible thing. And that, you know, there comes a day where you sometimes think that sometimes a good punch in the throat might actually not be out of place. And I'm not saying anyone particularly, I'm being speaking metaphorically, but sometimes you do think that common sense has left the building. This roundup's very cool though, because it's very cool because it's very well presented, but what gets me is that he's doing the submission and there is a person who's been picked to do this job and been presumably paid very well to do this job, and the guy has got his hands on his head on his hands and he's virtually got his eyes closed and it's very clear, and he slouched forward, that he couldn't be bothered at all. And it really, that little bit really narks me, because again, it's this whole thing of, wait a minute, you're a public servant, the least you can do regardless of who's speaking to you is sit up straight and show that you're paying that person, show that person the proper respect that they actually due. But we've now gone so far down the road that actually no one's actually realised that it's not even aware that they're doing it, and this is just what we go along with. I could go up, I've got heaps of stuff, and I'm just kind of keep going. No songs today because I just want to give you these nice little juicy bits. Just kind of going back through my social media. And I won't, basically, again, it's quite interesting about the Epstein situation, again, is that there is some very interesting stuff going on, because the attack on the US aid is actually revealing that basically a lot of money, including to New Zealand journalists, and again, I will cover that in my Shipping News 43, I'll go into the specifics about this particular international organisation that, in conjunction with USAID, is actually kind of money has been snuck into New Zealand's mainstream media. So effectively, we are being influenced by checkbook journalism. That's coming from the USAID. And again, anybody that knows the history and goes and looks at the USAID in the 1970s, 60s and 70s and 80s knows that they were very much involved in supporting some very far-right organisations, including the Phoenix Foundation or the Phoenix Death Squads in Vietnam and Nazi-supported governments in Latin America. And that we so easily forget our history is quite disturbing. In fact, one of the feeds I'm looking at right now really talks about fifth-generation warfare. And one of the things he says is that there are basically three things that you've got to turn around and do to protect yourself against this war from both sides. War from in, war from outside, war from the left wing, war from the right. One of the things he says is stop relying on your social media, he says, reading from all these feeds. It's, I know, ironic, but I do other, you know, get my information from other sources as well. So don't rely just on your online information. Go and start reading books. Start reading some of the classic books. Take some time away from your scrolling to actually just pause and think about things. That's why, again, books are quite lovely because they teach you to like a gym. It's not just a case of going out and getting fit and doing your press-ups. You've got to learn how to read. You've got to learn how to read books so you're not just getting reading information, but you're actually absorbing information so that when something comes up on your feed, you actually have the muscle memory to actually be able to reach back and connect it with other facts and basically coordinate and, you know, discern this thing of multiple sources, which again, if we were so worried about fake news, that could be one of the things that could be a regular feature with a mainstream support. Like, you know, by the way, this story you'll know today came with three sources and none of the sources used a spokesman that actually wouldn't name himself. You know, they all the sources were named sources. They all provided physical hard documentation. They're all independent of each other. I mean, the fact of that we're not getting this information about what actually is just like, listen to Radio New Zealand, listen to TVNZ, listen to MediaWorks. Why? What makes those organisations any more special than any other news information? So I think pretty much all the moral of today's story, and of course the other one, of course we talk about Bill Gates attacking Elon Musk. Again, not a big fan of Elon Musk, but when, you know, Bill Gates is talking about how the war on the US aid, which is actually showing millions of dollars, including money going to Hamas and going to terrorist organizations, coming from Bill Gates, who was divorced because his wife wasn't very comfortable with the Epstein affair, you kind of go, well, you're a bit of a hypocrite. But of course, again, Donald Trump, for all of that stuff about the stuff that he is doing about USA, you know, it would be, you would be more convinced if he started to release the Epstein files, which sort of that's sort of the thing that isn't being released. And, you know, we've got to remember that people like Bill Clinton and Epstein, you know, Trump partied with these guys for quite some time. So again, it's very, what I'm trying to say is that we have a lot of people say hate Trump and they're encouraged to because this massive media influx, which actually gives, for me, Trump a seed of the benefit of doubt, because I wonder why the corporates are so intent on actually going after him. But I also am aware, I'm not foolish, and I'm aware of the fact that there are plenty of dead bodies and, you know, things about Israel being one of them that I don't like about Trump. So, but however, I think that will be us today. I think you'll come and visit us in the next couple of weeks because we've got some great guests actually coming on board. Do go and visit my website, which is the Dyslexic Detective, postmanproductions.com, or the Dyslexic or Dystic Detective, where we'll be shipping News 43, which should be out next week, and we've got a whole bunch of really good stories. And again, some of my material, I'm doing some of my draft work on my book on Moonlight's actually in there as well. And we've got some other great little stories basically about a whole bunch of scientists involved with insects that keep dying. It's the, like, you know, all back in the early 2000s, all these scientists started dying that were linked to, you know, biosecurity laboratories and chemical and bio warfare. Well, now it seems if you're involved in food security and insects, then you're on the scientists. So we're going to look into that. We're also going to look at the Newark and its unfortunate history in terms of things like nuclear material going missing there, drones turning up which might be looking for nuclear material, the fact that actually if you're sending nuclear weapons to Europe from America, then that's the place that they go through, and a whole bunch of other stuff that's all related, and some really good little nuggets of information. And otherwise, I hope you've enjoyed this little roundup of little things that I post on and thought you might find newsworthy. So I was all very eager to wind that actually up, and then my engine is like shaking his head, busily going, no, don't do that. We've got heaps of time. Here's an interesting one. We've also got, just a breaking news kind of story, there's actually a UN aviation body has just ruled that the Russian down Malaysian airline MH17, they're saying that the UN aviation body rules Russia down the Malaysian story MH17. Read that story. Also go and have a look at the one that's on MH370, because I think the two stories are actually connected. And we'll have a little deeper dive into that one a little bit down the road, down that way. We also look at, can also think about like the whole New York story. So I'll go a bit into that New York story, because it'll be on my website, the Shipping News, Shipping News 43 next week. But basically, I was looking at the fact that they're arresting the mayor in New Jersey, because he went to check on this whole immigration camp, and basically they kind of sucked him in and went, "You're under arrest for trespassing," and lots of people, you know, are losing their expletives, because it does seem like I see things where Trump goes after things like the USA. And I'm like, I know the history of that organization. They're not an honest organization. I don't have a problem with that. Trump's position on the war in the Ukraine, again, don't have a problem with that. But I also am quite clear that he's not doing it because he actually gives that much. It's more a case of he's an opportunist and he realizes it's a loser and he doesn't want to be part of that. And it's also interesting, you know, one moment he's supporting Israel and the next moment, Qatar gives him a $10 million airplane, and suddenly he's not so keen on Benjamin Netanyahu anymore, which gets kind of curious. And Trump is a character of much complexity, and I'm sure many, many, many books will be written about him. But I was looking at this New York thing, and I was just looking at it, you know, what kind of started to make me think was going, you know, New York is going, having a lot of, it's not having a good time. Like, you know, kind of, you know, we'll stick with one thing, and then when we get time, we'll kind of lead on to the next thing. But early at the end of last year, or the beginning of last year, there was a whole spate of drones that were being seen on the northeast seaboard, and they're also being seen at that same time around UK and specifically US bases where there are stored nuclear weapons or there's nuclear related technology in at Heathrow Airport. At that stage, you might say, well, you know, so what? But then there was a post put out on YouTube by a guy who runs a drone company. Again, the exact name and his qualifications, I've got that on my Shipping News 43. But the point is, you know, this guy actually does know what he's talking about. And he was talking about saying, well, actually, the way that they're flying is they're looking for something. And I think they're looking for nuclear material. And he talked about how the fact that he knew that there was like 100 missiles missing from the Cold War days, and he suspected one of them had actually got out of the Far East and was actually courtesy from Ukraine and had actually arrived in the US, and everybody in the US, well, not everybody, but the people that should know, were aware of it, but no one was really, kind of didn't seem really that concerned about what had actually happened to it, and now they were actually busily running around looking for this thing. Now, of course, the Snopes and people like fact checkers turned around and said, oh, no, there's no missiles missing. We've talked to the authorities and they say there are no missiles missing. That's actually not correct. The fact checkers, what you actually find is that this issue about missiles missing came up in early 1997. And the Russians, what their position was we aren't missing anything. We can't speak for Georgia or the Ukraine. And the IAC, the International Energy Atomics Commission, whose job is, you know, anything nuclear, you give them copies and they keep copies and they carry out, inspect it all. And they came back and they basically gave the Russians the big tick and said, no, the Russians are all good. But they also came back and said, well, actually, we're not so certain about Georgia and the Ukraine. And so actually the source of information is that, yes, from 1997 onwards, there has been this issue about a nuclear missile possibly missing. At the same time, we have also got elements connected with the project for the New American Century, this very hard right core thing, saying one of the reasons why they needed a first strike capacity for NATO was that all this, uranium and stuff was going missing, and they needed it because a rogue state might get hold of nuclear technology. Well, the reality is that we look at the BCCI affair, which again, also quite often named New Zealand, and again, you look at my books, State Secrets 2, where I name companies where nuclear material was coming through the West or New Zealand and then ending up in rogue nations like North Korea and Pakistan, and our Western intelligence services were looking the other way, you know, you're basically in the situation where the West were actually allowing this to take place. So, okay, fact number one is we do have nuclear missiles missing. The second thing is about the same time before those drones occurred, when I was in the United States, one of the posts that I made that I sent back from the United States was like, hey, I'm just coming across these helicopters going to all these major events that they're equipped with this nuclear sniffing technology. And like, you know, you might have had once in a while of once in 10 years, there'd be one helicopter and it'd do an exercise. Now they're happening all over the place. And when I go and look at the company, yep, sure enough, there's this huge spike in stockpiles where all the stuff is just rolling out the door because of this nuclear proliferation, which again indicates that this is obviously the threat level, this being a genuine thing, is actually a concern. So again, the fact that this was taking place kind of like makes you go, well, okay, that's a bit of a worry. Then we started to get planes sort of dropping out of the sky, and there was a Black Hawk that caused a fatal crash up at Reagan Airport. And it turned out that one of the pilots, and again, you know, there's now a smear campaign which makes out that this pilot was, you know, doing things that they shouldn't do, but as usual, we don't actually get to listen to the black box. We're just told this is the case, and not so much focus on the fact that not only is the pilot who was responsible in the crash a White House aide, but in actual fact, that particular battalion's job is to take VIPs and fly them to the bunkers in the event that there's a nuclear threat. So this is all taking place at the same time that we've got this proliferation of nuclear weapons missing, and we are starting to get all these helicopters flying around the Super Bowl, the president's inauguration, which is actually, that's where I mentioned these helicopters before the drone event took place, or actually coinciding at the same time. So you go, well, that's kind of interesting. And again, the next thing we have is that it's not just that there's now outages happening at Newark Airport, but they're also happening at Heathrow, and the two, but the communications seem to be connected to each other. And these are two airports that are very, very essential to when you want to actually ship nuclear weapons, actually from the United States to Europe. This is the place that you turn around and do it. And so again, that just like, hey, what the hell is actually going on here? Should we all be particularly alarmed? And finally, of course, we've got that sort of wonderful speech where Zelensky's talking to Donald Trump when he first gets elected, and Donald Trump's being, you know, Donald Trump, and Zelensky is kind of losing, he's getting frustrated, and he turns around and blows his cool, and he basically says, soon America, you too will experience the terror that we have known. And that could be, of course, applied as he's suggesting, well, if you don't get involved, this war's going to spread, and you know, we told you so. Or it could be interpreted as a threat. And we do know that when we look at things like the situation of the coup in 2013 and the Maidan event in 2014, that there has been a lot of black bag events take place. And again, we've seen the Nord Stream, Seymour Hersh, Pulitzer winning journalists point out that actually this was kind of one of the things that was used to kind of go, look at evil Putin, look what he's done to the Nord Stream. And it all blew up because it turned out actual fact that the guys that were carrying out that attack were the US allies and probably the Ukraine itself. So that these are all these things that worry, and what worries me the most is that I'm not saying that any of this is going to take place. The key word here is this is all conjecture. But what worries me is that things look like in the Ukraine, and the war in Ukraine is starting to wind up, it's becoming increasingly clear that the propaganda effort is failing, and that more and more people are kind of getting onto the idea that, wait a minute, we weren't told all of the facts. And once we start to understand the backdrop story, it's not quite how we were led it. Now, we haven't quite reached full tipping point or cascade point on that point yet. And if some big event was to take place in Russia, I mean, not Russia, in northeast of seaboard, and it was made to look like, as the case Poland, you know, turning around and saying, oh, look, Russia's carried out a terrorist attack in our supermarket, in a shopping mall. We haven't got any proof that actually proves it that this was him, but we're going to say it, and all the media is going to trot out, just like they did with weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, just as like they did with the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and just simply accept these unnamed sources with this information that we don't get to see. I'm afraid we could be back in a really horrible situation, especially, you know, and it's not a great situation either way, because, I mean, the reality is we don't end up going to war with the Ukraine, but we've got Trump picking a war with China, which is a trade war, which really, the only way that that China can actually, America has any hope of winning this trade war is if they start really getting into the whole idea of actually, you know, going, well, the only way we're going to win this is if we've got cheap labor. And the only way we're going to get cheap labor is if we start arresting everybody in the United States, including immigrants, and voila, suddenly there's our cheap labor. And I'm kind of thinking that's where the Trump kind of line in the sand has actually been drawn. So, you know, our world so far has descended from this point when we were actually perestroika and looked like we weren't going to have nuclear war, and we were starting to recognize that maybe we had to be a bit kinder to the planet. Now everything seems to be kind of going the other way. You go to places like Newark, Newark is an interesting case because the place is, you know, been there, and I walked around, and once upon a time was a grand, fantastic building, but then all these over mortgage primes that were kind of flushed in by Donald Trump's mates kind of has led to those neighborhoods being turned into basically ghettos, or, you know, one house looks okay, but it's got bars and alarms on the window, and the one next door looks bombed out. And yet the reason why they got away with it was that Donald Trump's mates then got basically bailout by people like Bill Clinton and Obama's government. So, you know, it's this, your choice is the neoliberal outcome or the neoconservative outcome, and the combined, the outcome has been an embryo which is basically breeding modern fascism. And it doesn't matter whether it's left-wing fascism or right-wing fascism, the idea that governments need to be accountable to us and our institutions need to be able to not just make claims but actually show us hardcore facts and educate us and do what those are, that seems to be kind of lost out the window. Now, I'm now going to actually wind it up at this particular point. And again, have a look on my social media page, Ben Vigen, or check out my website, Dyslexic Detective. Next week we'll put out the shipping news for number 43. In fact, the way, as I'm speaking to you right now, if you go online and look at it, you'll be able to find my site, and we'll have some of these stories up there with some great links and some great, you know, we'll try and find some much photographic material as we can to not just, you know, tell the story with sources, but also give you visual references as well. And hopefully we managed to do that wonderful job of providing you independent alternative news that actually isn't just a whole bunch of our opinions that don't come with any fact-checking or information that can be verified. We are living in an age of white noise, and I sometimes feel that, you know, what I used to do where I was quite unique and you know, I built a reputation of not being involved in corporate media, it's a little bit, we struggle to get to maintain our position out there, but you still keep listening to us, and as long as you keep listening to my podcast and it still keeps on being in the top three of Fresh FM's radio podcasts, I'll keep doing this. This is Ben Vigen on The Deadline Report. See you all next week.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.